Now again, tonight we're very glad to see those who have come along to the gospel meeting, and we would warmly welcome you to the meeting. We're thankful for everyone that has enough interest in spiritual things to come and hear words whereby they can be saved. The meeting tomorrow night will be at the same time, and we invite you back again. And again, on Lord's Day, these meetings at 8 o'clock, each night except Saturday. Come and bring others with you. If you're a stranger to the gospel, bring a Bible with you. If you would like to confirm what we read from the Word of God and what we speak from the Word of God, we would like to be sure that everything we say conforms to what God has told us in His precious Word. And we would be delighted if anyone needs help to try and help you understand the gospel. We cannot save, that is God's work. But sometimes a little explanation can be a help. And so are your servants for Jesus' sake. Remember the prayer meeting before each gospel meeting at 7:30, and then after this gospel meeting and each gospel meeting, a short prayer meeting for those who are able to stay with us and lay hold upon God for the salvation of souls. Now I would like to read with you, please, in the Gospel of Luke, first of all, chapter 13. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, and we'll read, please, from verse 22. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. They shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Now come back with me, please, for a short reading in the second book of Kings and chapter 7. Second Kings chapter 7. And we'll read from verse 3. We're reading about a city that was being besieged. And in verse 3 it says, And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Come down to verse 9, please. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief shall come upon us. Now therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. Now, please, another reading, the last reading in 2 Samuel chapter 3. Second book of Samuel, and chapter 3. And we'll read here, please, at verse 24. Then Joab came to the king and said, "What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest." And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah, but David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. Down, please, to verse 33. And the king lamented over Abner, and said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou." And all the people wept again over him. Now God will bless these portions of his word that we have read, and we trust comments that will be made upon them. Now really, what's upon my mind to notice with you, just to put it very briefly, are some occasions where we read about gates, and the gate that we read about in Luke chapter 13, I have thought of that gate as being characterized by determination. The Lord Jesus Christ said words like these, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate." That's a gate that you must be determined to get in if you're ever going to enjoy God's salvation. Over in 2 Kings chapter 7, we read of a gate there where those four leprous men were sitting, and they said to themselves, "Why sit we here until we die?" And I'm thinking of that gate as a gate characterized by decision. These men had to make up their mind whether they were just going to sit there and die because of the famine, or whether they were going to cast themselves upon the mercy of the Syrians and perhaps enjoy living. And that's what they did, and of course they found the blessing. And then we read in 2 Samuel chapter 3 about a gate that was characterized by death and delay. A man who stood by the gate of Hebron, a city of refuge, he might have entered in and have been safe, but standing just without the gate, talking to that man, Joab, who had no compassion as far as life was concerned, smote him under the fifth rib, and Abner died. And David said, after his funeral, he said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth?" He asked the question, was he a fool? What would you say when the city of refuge was right there, when all he had to do was enter in? He said, "Thy hands were not in fetters. You weren't bound in any way. All you had to do was take that step into a place of safety, and you would still be alive today." Now, I want to point out in these scriptures, particularly from Luke chapter 13, that here is a gate that's associated with determination. Someone asked the Lord Jesus the question, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" And of course, we're living in a day and age when a lot of people ask the question, "Are there few getting saved, or are there many getting saved?" On another occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." And the Lord made it very clear in what he said here in Luke chapter 13, that it was not the majority of people that did God's salvation. Now I know that people, generally speaking, are interested in doing what the majority do. But when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to the matter of the soul and the eternal welfare of an individual, where they're going to be for all eternity, in heaven above or in hell beneath, it seems to me that people are blinded by the God of this world. In fact, we know that is true. The Bible tells us that. The apostle says that they were blinded by the God of this world, lest the light of the gospel should shine in. And people seem to have far more interest in material things, what there is round about them, than they have in the fact that there's an eternity ahead to spend in heaven above or in hell beneath. Now, friend, don't you think it's in your wisest interest to make sure that your soul is saved for eternity? When this question was asked, the Lord Jesus answered it very simply. And, of course, He made it obvious that there was something more important than just the matter of how many are saved. That's what people seem to be interested in. Rather than what the Lord Jesus said when He said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate." Now, friend, if you're ever going to get God's salvation, if you're going to get the greatest blessing that heaven could ever bestow upon you, the knowledge of your sins forgiven, peace with God, heaven as your home, and all that lies in the eternal future for those who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, then, friend, you've got to get down to business today. Everything else must take second place. You must make up your mind, "I want this matter of salvation more than anything else in this world." And, friend, I have found this, and I know that all of us have noted that that person that gets God's salvation is that person that has set everything else to one side and made up their mind, "I am going to settle this matter. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it means. I would like to know for sure that my sins are forgiven, that I'm on the way to heaven." The Lord Jesus said, "Strive to enter in." That word "strive," it comes from a Greek word, and I'm not a Greek student by any stretch of the imagination, but there's a Greek word, agonizome, which simply is our word agony or agonize. And so what the Lord Jesus is saying, agonize to enter in. There's one in the Word of God that we recall that was in a condition of agony. It was our blessed Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, when blood like sweat fell to the ground, when He anticipated what it would mean to come in contact with sin and to die yonder on Calvary, prostrate before His Father God. We hear the cry from His lips, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And thrice over that cry rung from the very depths of the soul of God's beloved Son. He knew exactly what it would mean to bear the judgment of a guilty world upon Calvary. And He agonized. And thank God He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And He went onward to Calvary to pay redemption's price that you might not be in hell forever. But I want to tell you, friend, if you want God's salvation, you must agonize. I'm not saying that you'll have to produce blood like sweat. But I am saying this, that everything else must be set to one side, and you must make up your mind, "I don't care what it means, I don't care what it costs, I would like to be saved more than anything else in the world." I think I mentioned to the folk 5 years ago, we had an experience on the Labrador coast, flying there many years ago. We landed our plane just between during the Christmas holidays, around New Year's time or a little before, in a little community called Charlottetown. There's an assembly of Christians there now, and we stopped there to visit. We landed the plane on the ice. We picked up a passenger, went further north for a short visit, and then came back. But during the time that we were away overnight, there had been a light snowfall, maybe 4 or 5 inches of snow. That's a light snowfall for us over there. The snow had fallen on the ice, and in some places that ice apparently was very thin, and the frost seemed to have been drawn out of the ice. So that when we landed and we taxied up into the bottom of the bay, everything was fine. There was ice about 2 feet thick up in the bottom of the bay. All we really need was about 6 or 7 inches. But when I taxied out to go off again, we hit a soft spot. The aircraft broke through the ice and it started going down. I managed to get out through the door. The young fellow that was in the back, he got out first. And then I got out. The water was up to the seat when I got out. By the time I got a hold of my wife and pulled her out, I had to pull her about across about 4 or 5 feet of water onto the ice. And within 10 seconds, the cabin of that plane was down underwater. And as I looked at that, I thought to myself, we didn't have very much time. If there had been any delay getting unbuckled, or if there had been any delay of any kind, we wouldn't have got out of that aircraft in time. We'd have been submerged. It didn't go to the bottom, but it did go underwater. And I've often thought of that as a little example of what it means to strive. Friends, you're living in a world that is plunging on to eternal judgment. If you die in your sins, you will lose your soul for eternal ages. The Bible makes it very clear. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And every soul that has never experienced the joy of sins forgiven is on the way down to eternal judgment. And friend, it means one determined effort to get out of that sinking ship, if you will. 10 seconds and we would have been submerged. My friend, if you were to die in your sins tonight, you would drop into the flames of hell. And friend, ahead of you is the judgment of God for your sin. Unless you make a tremendous effort to get this matter of your soul salvation settled. You see, we're reading about a gate here. And I've called it a gate of determination because, friend, you have to be determined to get in through this gate. The Lord Jesus called it a straight gate. And I believe that that suggests it's a narrow gate. It's a gate that you cannot get in with your sin. And if there are things in your life that you enjoy more than getting the matter of your soul salvation settled, you'll never get in through the gate. And the devil is spreading all these things to entice people today to keep them enjoying the things that are in this ungodly world and trying to get them to miss the gate. But friend, you can't get in through that gate with your sin. You must understand tonight that sin, as God sees it, is that which has separated you from God. You must see that that sin is that which is taking you down the broad road to hell. You must see, my friend, that that sin is that which is interfering with the peace of God. And it's that sin that made it necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to go yonder to Calvary and suffer and bleed and die. You can't get in through the gate with your sin. That careless, pleasure-loving young man or young woman cannot get in through the gate with their pleasure and their sin. And friend, far better to set all that to one side and make up your mind, I would like to get this matter settled. I don't care what it costs. Just before I left the shores of Newfoundland, I got a phone call. And the phone call was to tell me the sad news that 4 young men from the age of 18 to the age of 22 were driving in a car on the Labrador coast. There's only about 60 miles of paved road there. And they'd been spending their time, those 4 young men, in one of the places where they could obtain strong drink. They were returning home and they were going down a hill in a little place called Lanseclair when their car left the road and struck a culvert, and 4 young men went out into eternity in one moment of time. I thought to myself, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. 4 young lives. Men that were so deceived by Satan that they were under the grip and the influence of that drink and under his power and control. And they lost their lives. They're gone out to meet God. And as far as I know, none of those young men knew anything about the salvation of God. And I thought, what a solemn thing for a person to die without Christ, without a Savior. And here you are tonight, friend, within reach of heaven. Strive to enter in, said the Lord Jesus. Agonize. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. There will be multitudes who will long to get in and they'll not be able to get in. Why should you strive to get in, friend? Because there's a day coming when you'll not be able to get in. There's a moment coming when the door will be closed. When once the master of the house hath ridden up and shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Oh, you'll say, we heard the gospel. It was preached in our ears. It was preached in our vicinity. We came to where we could hear it. But we just thought there was lots of time to get it settled. Oh, friend, listen, time is running out. Those of us who are saved, we have every reason to be convinced from the Word of God that at any moment, it could happen in the middle of this gospel meeting tonight, there could be that shout from heaven. If you're not saved, you wouldn't hear it. But I'll tell you what would happen. The saints would hear it. And every saint, every child of God would vanish out of this building. I don't think I'm stretching my imagination to say that there'll be evidence that the Christians were here. Those Bibles will be sitting there. I would venture to say their clothing will be sitting there, because we're going to be clothed in garments pure and white in the glory. And all that evidence that there were Christians will be there to remind you that the door is closed, that you might have got God's salvation, but you didn't strive to enter in. And friend, we would like to appeal to you tonight. If you intend to get God's salvation, now is the time to get in. During this very gospel meeting, yes. During this series of meetings, we don't know how long the series will last. We don't know whether this meeting will get to its close. And we don't know what will happen in your experience. You may be here today, and you may be gone tomorrow into eternity. The thing that is important is for you to strive to enter in before it's too late. Oh, I tell you, it's too serious a matter just to set to one side. I don't think I'll get time to say too much about these other gates. But I think of those four leprous men. We were hearing about from that portion of Scripture last night, and along with those leprous men, there was a man who had talked to the prophet, and the prophet said, about this time tomorrow, there'll be plenty to eat. And the man despised the word of the prophet. And on the morrow, when God discomfited the enemy and the enemy fled, there was plenty to eat. And a man who derided, a man who made fun of the word of the prophet, he died in the gate of the city, right where all the provision was, and he died there. But here was four men, and they said, why sit we here until we die? Oh, friend, come to a decision tonight. Make up your mind, I'm going to settle this matter. Young woman, 5 years ago, came to the gospel meetings. Thank God, she received Christ as her Savior. But she told me afterward, I made the statement, something similar to what I'm making tonight, that anyone that is going to get God's salvation will try and be at every meeting and will make up their mind, I'm going to settle this thing, and I'm going to settle it now. And she said, I made up my mind, this is the time for me. And thank God, before those meetings came to a close, she found Christ as her Savior. I want to tell you, friend, it's important to get it settled. To get it settled now. This is the time. Oh, then be wise, thou wouldst be saved, why not tonight? Place of decision. Why sit we here until we die? If we go into the city, there's famine in the city. There's nothing to eat there. If we stay where we are, we're just going to die. And friend, if you just continue going on the way you're going, there's nothing ahead of you but the judgment of God. And so what did they decide? They said, let's cast ourselves on the mercy of those Syrians. They were the executors of God's judgment upon Israel, upon the city of Samaria. In other words, they were saying, we'll go out and we'll ask for mercy. And friend, the only thing you could do to get God's salvation is cast yourself on the mercy of God, because every one of us deserved to be down in hell for our sins. But thank God there was one who was willing to die in our stead, that souls so unworthy might live. And the way to the cross, he was willing to tread all the sins of our life to forgive. And friend, God can be merciful because Christ has paid the debt in drops of precious blood. They did it. They went out, they cast themselves on the mercy of the Syrians. God had already worked. The Syrians were gone, and the food in abundance was there. They said, this is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Oh, friend, listen, this is a day of good tidings. There's salvation for you if you'll come as a poor sinner. Will you trust Christ? Will you believe on Him? Don't be like that man we read about over in 2 Samuel there. That man who stood just outside the gate. That man who could have stepped just inside the gate and been safe from the avenger of blood. Safe from the knife of that cruel man, Joab. Oh, friend, listen, Satan will have you in his clutches. Satan will have you in hell if he can. And it's only a step to Christ. Only a step to Jesus. Why not take it now? Why not come as a poor sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ and find salvation in Him? Sins forgiven and heaven is your home. God help you as the meeting continues tonight to make your choice for Christ. Remember, it could be tonight or never.